All right, hang tight for just a few more minutes. Amy called me this week, and she was just sharing some things that she felt God put on her heart. And she said, hey, do you think I can share this? And I said, I think that that would be a good thing for us to do. So again, would you not just be in the room while this is happening? Would you position your hearts to receive from Amy and also receive from what God's doing? By the way, for those of you who don't know, this is my amazing sister, Amy. And super happy she's here.
Hi. I'm just going to warn you now, there's probably going to be tears in the midst of this. Most likely. So I was here, for those of you who don't know, from 2012 until I was kind of here 2016, but I had disengaged a lot. AOX was my home, and I really felt like for a while that this was where I was to settle. And God gave me these things about like being okay to be home. Thank you, niece. And while I was here, I was working in Pittsburgh with the homeless veterans, and I didn't know it, and I didn't understand what was going on, but as they would tell me their stories, I would see everything that they were sharing, and I didn't know how to process that, so I was getting beat up a lot by it, but I didn't know how to, like, ask for help. Because I was this strong Christian girl who should be able to like handle this stuff. And that began the process of breaking down a lot of things. Like I look back and that's part of it. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about hope deferred makes a heart sick. I knew God had put a lot of stuff in my heart and I wasn't seeing it happen. And my heart was getting really sick in the midst of it all. I also, when I was young, had been molested, and sexual desires had been awakened at a very early age, and so I was trying to manage that. I was trying to walk out life as a strong Christian girl who was supposed to know how to act and supposed to do all these things, but I was being tormented, and I didn't know how to do it, and I didn't know how to handle it, and I believed the lie of the enemy that I shouldn't have to ask for help, and so I allowed pride get me in a spot that was not healthy, that was very broken. In 2015, pretty much everything came to a head. It had been an amazing year, and I was getting ready to head out on this amazing trip to North Carolina and doing mission stuff, and it was Gabe and Liza's wedding, and we were all excited, and the deck collapsed. And God did some really good things in the midst of all of that. But I saw it every time somebody would share their story in our internship stuff. I was seeing my brother's head bash against the wall. And I was seeing what everybody thought, that he was dying. And I was seeing all this stuff happen. And at that point, I said, no more. I don't want to see anything else. Like, there was nothing good coming out of me seeing things. And I remember we were sitting in here. I was part of the internship group that the summer in the Grove. And I got up and ran out, and Sarah followed me. And I was shaking back there because I was so messed up by it, and I didn't know what to do. And I realized later, like, I was suffering from PTSD is basically what it was, because I was getting a secondary from my veterans. I was seeing and hearing everything. And what God meant for me to be able to use as an intercessory type situation, Satan was tormenting with it. And I would just see it over and over and over. And when I would see that person, I would see their things. So this man who I love very much, every time I saw him, I would see his head smashing against the cinder block wall. From that point on, for about the next 6 to 8 weeks, there was a very dramatic and traumatic situations that would take place in my life. Very dramatic, going on this missions trip, amazing, knew exactly, like it was everything that my heart longs for, like I got to do on this missions trip. And I came back a couple weeks later, my friend dies of cancer. A friend that we'd been fighting for, she dies. There had been vows that I didn't understand, but that I had made with that. and I stepped into a role that wasn't mine to fill, which was to take care of the husband and the children. Not mine. I had shifting and changing where my roommate moved out, and it was a really good thing, but it was in that part in my heart, it hurt. Like, I felt like I was just stripped down to nothing. And in those moments, I began to accept the lies of the enemy, that I didn't belong here, that I wasn't wanted, that I wasn't worthy. Then I began to make steps into sin. And so the shame from that just like piled on. And then I stepped away from my job because I really believed that God was saying that it was time for me to switch jobs because it was just a ridiculous schedule. I was never here at church with you guys. I was always there. And no job came. So in my brokenness, I became the people that I was supposed to be helping in my last job. I became the homeless person who had to walk away from their apartment. I lived with Brad for a little bit. I lived with my friends in Elwood City. And there was just so much shame. And out of the shame and the brokenness, I began to believe the lies that you guys were my enemy instead of my family. And so I didn't want to come here. I didn't want to be around. I started working a job at the grocery store. And I would work like overnight shifts. So it was always easy for me not to be here on Sundays. Because I couldn't handle like what I perceived was the look of shame or how could you or whatever. At the end of 2016, our nephew had surgery and that surgery didn't go as planned. I used that as my excuse to leave, but I knew I had to get out of Western Pennsylvania. I needed to get away. There was many times that like spiritually there was nothing. I was flatlined. Brad would describe it as I was on life support. And I just didn't know. Like there was no music. And for anybody who knows me, that's a huge thing. When the music stops in my heart, like it's dead. And there was no music for a long time. But you know what? God's faithful. Because there was a blip. Even in the midst of being laid down because I had a busted knee, there was a blip. I'd be walking through the store, there'd be this blip. And I began to come alive, ever so slightly. When I went to Tennessee, it's really funny, because I landed back in a Baptist church. I grew up in a Baptist church. There's a lot of stuff that was with it that I didn't agree with. But because I knew it was important for me where I was in my life in that moment, that I needed to be part of a church, I began to go with my parents to church. And in the first month, many of the things that like had been spoken to me when I was young and had like intimately affected my lives, they stood at the pulpit or in front of the Sunday school class and said, "That's a lie. This is the truth. It's up to you to do what you do want to do with it." And so healing came. And my time in Tennessee was one of, I see it as like I was in spiritual ICU, and then I was moved to a regular room there, and God was faithful. The singing came back, the music came alive, my heart began to beat again. I began to hear the voice of the Lord again. I didn't doubt what I was hearing. And in June, I'm sitting there, and minding my own business, really enjoying my life, amazing job in a very safe place where I didn't have to worry about any kind of like seeing or hearing or anything. And the Lord says, "It's time for school. You got to understand, I've wanted this for so many years. God always said no. It was never the time." And I remember calling Brad and going like, "Hey, so this is what I think is going." And he was like, "Well, if that's what you think, let's go for it. You let me know." So I took ownership of this one. I didn't put it off on anybody else. I took it as my own, and I began to go through the process of applying. And I'd love to say that it was a very easy thing from that point on, but it wasn't. I had a cancer scare. I ended up in the hospital a couple different times. There was this up and down of like, "God, what are you doing?" But you know what? I was so sure and confident. Like my heart had been redeemed to this place and restored to this place of such confidence that I knew school was it. And so I'd have people tell me, it's not time for you to school. For some reason, God doesn't want you. I'm like, no, I'm going. Like it was thyroid cancer. If this is what's going to happen, they can deal with it. I'll be done. I'll just be a little bit late going to school. Had the biopsy. Jesus came and sang over me. Hadn't happened for a while. So it was very precious and sweet because I'd had a really bad biopsy before in the midst of like the procedure of it. And his peace, just he just came and sang the song Peace by Ellie Holcomb over me. I find you here. And I'm laying there. And it was just an amazing experience. And I got the results back, not cancer. And I was like, boom, done. I'm gone. And when I got up to, I'm going to Georgie and Banoff School over in Mechanicsburg. And when I got there, it took me about a month to feel safe. It did. Honestly, I sat and cried as everybody laughed and was drunk in Holy Spirit. Like, it's just where I was at. And I had to learn that it was okay for me to do that because it was a grieving process, but it was also a healing process. I didn't know what grace was, guys. Like, I didn't understand what grace was. I always lived my life as the perfect Christian girl who had no need for grace. And it wasn't until the last 2 years that I began to really, like, need grace and understand grace for self. Like, in the midst of my darkness, like, Jesus is still coming through for me. So as I've been there, there's just been this healing that's taken place. It's a safe place. My heart is coming alive again. He's redeemed the seeing thing. Like, I'm not afraid to see anymore because when I see things, like, I'm playing with him and praying for people, and he's taken me to the far sides of the world and just different things, like, just as I pray and intercede, and I get to see these things, and he's drawing with me. He's inviting me to draw with him. He's inviting me to sing with him, like, things that haven't happened for years because there's this healing that's taken place, and as the healing takes place, there's these layers of things that he just brings to the surface and says, honey, let's deal with this. One of those is you guys. I was in town a couple weeks ago. Brad and Adrian had asked me if I'd come to church, and I was like, no. It's like my heart's getting back to a healthy place, but like honestly, like I can't afford to go backwards, and I just don't want to be hurt by anybody there. And then Tuesday night, like God's been giving these writings to the point where he doesn't let me sing if it's in the middle of worship. He breaks me, like my voice starts cracking and says, you need to go write and then you can sing again. And the one he gave me on Tuesday night was about reflection and how when you walk past a mirror or a door in the natural, like you have like a couple options. Like you can either look at yourself and be like, I look good in this outfit, or you can say, not so good. Or because of the brokenness in our hearts, like we can just say, I'm just going to avoid all windows, mirrors, doors, anything that's going to give me any kind of reflection. And he showed me that in the spiritual realm, we have the same choice. We can have the same heart posture. When we're in really great places, we love our reflection because we're reflecting the Father who is quite lovely. When we're not in a great place, or when we're like, comparing ourselves to other sons and daughters, we can be like, not such a great look. And we can make one or two choices out of that. We can either say, allow it to propel us to the Father, or we can allow the enemy to like make us like run backwards. And the third response is still the same. Like we can just be in such a place with our heart that we choose not to like stop and look. We can be really doing really, really great things. But if we don't allow our hearts to stop and like look in the eyes of the Father and allow ourselves to see how he sees us, then we're still like in a not good place. And so as God was giving me that writing and then as Georgian was teaching that night, I texted Brad and said, what's the plan for Sunday? Because I knew it was time to come home. And it was time for like hearts to be healed and repentance to be made. And so as we talked about it, this is where my heart is. I want to repent to you, not for my brokenness, because I couldn't really have done anything about the brokenness. I was just broken. But I want to repent to you for living out of the lies that you're my enemies, that I wasn't worthy, that I chose to believe that disconnection was better than fighting for connection. And ask for your forgiveness. Because I don't want this. Like, I realized as I was like, because I'd asked one or two people to come with me today, and like, it just worked out that nobody could come. And when that worked out, I just realized, I was like, you know what? Like, I don't need backup, because I'm not going to fight enemies. I'm going to restore family and friendship. So, this is me asking you to forgive me. And me saying, I love you guys. And I have no clue what God has ahead, but I really want you guys to be a part of it. And be like able to pray for me and whatever else he has and celebrate or whatever, like, and for the same for you guys, like, to be able to be here whenever I come here, that it's not like, I'm going to go figure out someplace else to go because it's not safe, because it is safe. And I'm just declaring that. And I also, like, God just showed me, it's funny how Jesus loves us so much that even in our schoolwork, he gives us books that we need to read at the exact time that we need to read them. So right now we're reading Danny Silk's Culture of Honor, which I highly recommend, not just to church leaders, but everyone. But in it, it talks about shame and how shame's not just a feeling, but it's like a spirit. And we can allow ourselves to be clothed in shame. And when we are, it takes me failing to me being a failure. And it takes me making a mistake to me being the mistake. And therefore, I am not worthy. And so I just want to, like, break off. I mean, I guess, ask if you forgive me first. Okay. And then take a minute, if you guys will, like, I just really felt like God is just going, like, hey, shame has no place. And it's time to break it off. And I know I'm the outside coming in. But I just want to make a declaration that you are not clothed in shame, but you are clothed in the royal robes of righteousness. God doesn't look through the lenses of brokenness and failures and fissures, but he looks through the lenses that are whole and restored and perfect, and he sees us as our sons and daughters. He sees you as sons and daughters of righteousness. He sees you as men and women who have their hearts after God, and that his love goes beyond anything you ever could have done and anything you ever will do. And I just release freedom to you. In the name of Jesus.
Stay put. We're going to... Yeah, Gabe and Jesse, if you guys can come. We're gonna pray for Amy in just a second. But I want you to... Like, this is right on time. This is right on time for Amy, but also for us. Listen. Guys, she said there was trauma and there was drama. Do you remember that? Listen to me. There are some people that we love very much who are walking through trauma and they're walking through drama. There were people who tried to reach out to Amy, and sometimes Amy tried to avoid them. There are other times people just said, like, hey, I don't know what she's going through, but I'm just saying, let's take the grace that she's pouring out today. Let's allow God to use it to grow us up, because there are people, like, we're going to pray for Amy in just a second, but there are other people who are walking through similar things right now. And will you fight for them? Will you listen to this process and say, God, how can I cooperate? There are people whose hearts are shredded. They want nothing to do with you. And you can either be offended and feel rejected and kind of like, well, peace out. Or you can say, no, there's still a spot at the table that belongs to you. And whether you're at that spot or not, we're committed. Do you hear what I'm saying? We cannot afford to move an offense when people are walking through shredded hearts. What will we have faith for? Now listen, Amy, thank you so much for sharing. That was amazing. I said something when we were down at Everyday Epic. I said something, and Bill Vanderbush gets to the end, or I got done and Bill said, hey, you should take what Brad just said and make a soundbite of it and pipe it everywhere. Honestly, it was one of those times I was sharing. I didn't even recognize. I wasn't trying to make a point. I was just sharing this thing in my heart. And so last Monday we were praying, like the Lord reminded me of that, and I went back and I listened to it. And I was trying to figure out, God, what is it that what is it that was important? And there's something that's important for this moment right now, right now. As a dad, my daughter's right here, right? As a dad, and now that our spiritual sons and daughters are having kids, you know what? The question was, what is your kingdom dream? My kingdom dream is no longer something I can build, but it's the reality that my children will walk in. Does that make sense? Amy just gave us a gift. Do you recognize that? Most of us have had church experiences. When it's over, it's over. We had a dream when we started that said, God, we want to be a part of the world recognizing that what you said is true, that the world will recognize that we belong to you because of the way we love each other. We wanted that to mean that we didn't have people who just got mad and left or got hurt and left. Amy has just given us a huge gift to believe that even if things don't seem to end well, it's not the end. But there are people who are walking through it right now. Like, this is an on-time, sovereign thing because people are walking through it right now. And if you say, who's he talking about? Then you need to ask the Lord because there's some people who are walking around us that are full of places of hurt and pain. And what they need is not for you to go fix them. Is that true? But to be faithful to them. Does that make sense? So let's stand up, and we're going to pray for Amy. If you want to just stand, and you can extend your hands. But let's just pray for her. Thank you, God. Amy, we are humbled by the way that you came and humbled yourself. So as we humble ourselves, we receive the grace that you are sharing today. Father, I thank you for every gifting and calling that you put in Amy. I thank you for how you've made her to reflect your character and your nature. God, we speak complete forgiveness. And also, God, we speak complete restoration. We agree with that, God. If there's places in our hearts that, God, we need to repent to Amy, God, I pray that you would convict us, yeah, just individually, Lord, even as collectively, places that we didn't know how to respond to you. We just humble ourselves before you, and we say thank you for leading us in grace in this area. And we humble ourselves to receive grace from you. So God, we bless what you're doing. We bless the fire that you have always had. We thank you, God, that even though Amy felt like there was no fire, your fire never went out. And God, we thank you for the place that she is. God, we thank you that you have a provision for every part. And we speak, God, we speak grace to what you're doing. We add, Lord, Holy Spirit, we add to what you're already doing. We just agree with you in an agreement. We move and we pray for wind in her sails. God, I pray for relationships that have been hindered to be restored individually. God, we say thank you. We say thank you.
God, I thank you for leading Amy here. I thank you for her desiring to follow you wherever you lead. God, I recognize in this movement of humility, in this act of humility and walking in grace, God, that you are calling Amy to lead others into this. God, I just say, Amy, I just submit to you that God's leading you, that you can lead others into humility and grace and forgiveness, redemption and reconciliation. Say, Amy, you've been given the message of reconciliation, and you're walking out the message of reconciliation on your life. God, I just pray that you would give Amy, continue to give her the tools, Father, and give her the faith to step out and walk out this message of reconciliation. God, I pray that you would allow her to see the people around her, even in the church and outside the church, God, that need this message that she carries in her heart. I thank you that you've won her. You've won her heart, God. She's given her heart to you. Thank you that you are worthy, Jesus. I just pray, Father, that you would strengthen her to walk out this message of reconciliation that she carries. God, that you would open up doors for her to share the message wherever she goes. That you would open up doors in other churches, God, to speak about this message of reconciliation even within the church, Father. God, that you would see fit to put her in contact with ministry leaders, God, who have been hurt and who need to be reconciled. God, I just pray that you would give Amy supernatural gifts of helping stitch back together and fuse back together parts of the body that have been ripped apart. In Jesus' name. God, that you'd give her supernatural gifts of like a surgeon in the spirit, God, to put pieces back together. God, I pray that you would expand her vision to see bigger than she even thought her call, the call on her life was. God, that your call of reconciliation, yeah, it's calling the broken back to a father who loves them and to a right relationship with a father who desires that none should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus.
We accept you, Amy, as a friend and as a sister. We accept you. We forgive you and we thank you for sharing and for running to us to share. Father, I just pray your blessing over her right now that she could hear your songs and that songs would well up in her heart. Old songs, current songs, new songs. But what she would see would be you singing and dancing over her. I pray for those eyes, God, to see. Amy, we bless you to walk in spiritual family wherever you go, whatever state you live in, whatever body of Christ you're in. We bless you to carry the richness, the inheritance of the saints, and to distribute freely. Freely we've received and freely we give. Yeah, may grace and mercy just flow freely from you to everywhere God sends you.
All right, two things. One is I want us to pray and ask God to activate our faith, and then I want us to have like a demonstration. I need grace. I need grace right now, okay? So please give it to me. One of the things that I said in that few minutes in Florida is there's coming a time whenever the church can believe what God's word said, we're going to see a shift take place. There's scriptures that say, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, healed, and delivered. We believe that for salvation. Right? Do you believe it's possible for someone to cry out for salvation and not get saved? We don't believe that. But there's places where there are addicts who are crying out for deliverance and they haven't experienced it yet. And one of the things that God's convicted me about, until the church believes what the word says is true, how can we accept those who are in captivity to believe it? Right? Like, to me, this is a huge thing. I mean, because she's my sister and she's my friend. But also, this is awesome. This gives me faith for other relationships, right? But can we believe God? Like, God, like, we really can walk. This doesn't have to just be like, just like this empty, hollow attempt. We really can walk believing, God, that you want to restore families. You want to restore relationship. So I want us to pray right now. Would you just put your hand on your heart, and will you just pray for God to activate faith right now? God, we don't want to just talk about it. We just don't want to read your promises and say, well, they're true somehow, but I don't know them to be true. God, we just say, Lord, let every promise that seems like a distant dream, God, give us faith, stir our faith, that we would grow in faith. May we hear the word. May we not just believe that it's possible, God, but may we begin to believe our way into seeing them manifest around us, God. Grow our faith. Grow our faith in a way that we would always be surprised by how you do it, but we would never be surprised that you did what you said you would do. May we never lose the wonder of watching you work, but God, may we expect you to show up. So God, we say thank you for this message that Amy shared today. Thank you for restoration. But God, we pray it over other friends. We pray it over other family members. We pray over people who are far from God. We pray for people who feel like they've lost their music, that the fire's gone out. We call them back in Jesus' name. We say that he who began a good work is faithful. God, help us not to lose heart. Help us not to lose faith. In the midst of hardships, in the midst of trauma, in the midst of drama, help us not to give up. God, stir our faith to believe. Stir our faith to fight. Stir our faith to contend. We say yes and amen, God. God, I pray for Sean right now in Jesus' name. God, we just pray for Sean and we just speak truth and we speak life over Sean. And we say, Sean, come unto the light. You are light, Sean. Walk in the light. Just take a moment and pray for friends. Let God stir and activate your hearts. And guys, it's not a matter of Sean like being here. It's a matter of him being with Jesus, right? So we just bless you, Sean, to just find Jesus and walk completely with him. We just say you're not a severed part, Lord. And I just felt this, and I'm asking for grace because I want to... Amy's my sister, and I love her. And so I'm saying I know that she's my sister, and I love her. But as Jesse was saying... We accept you. I remembered a conversation that Amy and I had when she was kind of leaving. She asked for a blessing. And I just want to say, Amy, like, we accept you. We give a blessing. We give a blessing to you. But I actually just want to invite you to give an offering. If you've got something that you can give, it's just as a tangible sign of a blessing. I would just like to do that today just as an act of, like, you know, saying, yeah, we accept you and we bless you. Where she's at right now, her saying she's being restored doesn't mean she's going to be here every week. She's not. That's not what's happening. So if you have cash or if you want to give a different way, let me know. But I just want to say, Amy, we bless you. We bless you to be where God has you. We thank God for you. And we pray that you would be loaded up, that in the midst of storms, you would know that you have family that will fight for you. We bless you to depend on him. We bless you to know that you're connected. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cody's just going to be up here playing. I don't know if he's going to sing. Whenever you're ready to go, you can go. Remember the things. Remember about Dan and Steph. And remember about the prayer stuff. But God, we just worship you. We give you glory and we give you honor. We say thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your majesty. Thank you for your holiness. God, we pray that we would reflect you. We pray that we would reflect the image of your Son. Thank you, God, that in the midst of our worst days, that you never stop being committed to forming Jesus inside of us. Yeah, if you want to do, Jerry's asking, if you want to do a... Cash App offering, you can do that. And you can just say offering for Amy and the cause. But if you want to leave, you can leave. But if you want to stay and worship, you can do that too. If you need prayer, please don't leave today without getting prayer.